The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
Well, the beast from the east hasn't wiped us off.
No, we're back. We've managed to dust the snow from the bottom of our boots. We've risked life and limb to get it into the studio tonight. Of course, I'm laying it on thick.
You are. Not much snow on this side of the Pennines, but it was all in Yorkshire, wasn't it?
And to be honest, they always said that's God's country. God must have been happy with them.
Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah, strange one with Widdowson Wakefield. Perfect conditions at the start.
Yeah.
Blizzard 25 minutes in.
Unbelievable.
Plenty of fans singing, "Where are you?" because they couldn't see anything, and it was called off.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen a couple of pictures that have been in the Rugby League press. Have you seen the front cover of the League Express? You can hardly make out the Widnes and Wakefield players tackling in the snow.
Yeah, beast from the East Part 2 struck again. Plenty of games cancelled.
Yeah, Castleford and Wigan bit the dust as well.
Strange one that, wasn't it? Because Castleford and Wigan was called off, but yet Batley, which is not that far away, and their ground's on the top of the hill, got the game on.
And Featherstone's hosting their third game in 4 days.
Exactly. How did they do it?
It's just amazing. But you talked about Batley. Batley actually got the volunteers out in force to clear the pitch, and it was a good job that they did.
Obviously, they didn't at Castleford then.
No. But then again, maybe it was colder in Castleford and the ground
always
was
cold
rock
in
hard.
Castleford, yeah.
It is, yeah, yeah. It's like going to Oldham, isn't it? It was always cold in Oldham.
Yeah, you mentioned Featherstone. Strange one, that one. York were playing there, not Featherstone.
I know, well, it was already ruled out, was the York ground.
They just decided, we want to get the game on.
Exactly. Well, you know, you mentioned just before we went on air about, oh, I bet the coaches will all be moaning at all the fixture backlogs and stuff that are being caused. So they didn't want the fixture backlog, so they made sure that the game went ahead at Featherstone. So I mean, well played Featherstone for getting those games on, by the way, and Normanton as well.
I mean, it's like
there.
North Wales, they have their game cancelled on the Sunday. And they've decided they're going to play at Featherstone because their ground's not available in midweek.
Well, am I right in thinking it's a council facility? So they
not
have
sure.
like, all kinds of other things going on there during the week, so it's not available to them. So, again, well played to Featherstone for coming up with that and saying, you know what, we'll actually host that game. The other game that's been rearranged to be played is Halifax against Oldham. Over at Halifax, so it'll be interesting to see just how they go on, because Oldham's had a pretty good start to the season, haven't they?
We are ready and raring to go. It is the final hooter, Adrian Jackson, David Parkinson, talking Rugby League.
Oh, my Sunday name.
On love what?
You gave me my Sunday name.
What's that?
David Parkinson.
All right, okay. What do you want then?
Oh, I don't know.
Fred?
I'm not. That's my dad, that.
Okay. It is the final hooter. We're talking Rugby League. It is love Rugby League. You see, you got me confused.
Sorry.
Where was I? Yeah, it is the final hooter on loverbelieve.com. Thanks very much to Radio General for letting us use the brilliant equipment.
It is brilliant as well.
It is.
I can see you in front of all the switches and all the dials.
Knocking the microphone.
Yeah, but that doesn't count.
Lots of things happened in the world of Rugby League, as always. Who says nothing happens in Rugby League?
Nor us.
Not us.
We can always find something that happens in the world
of
Rugby League.
Well, one thing we can tell you, Liam Watts was told he's got no future at Hull at all, despite that headbutt against Warrington. He's told that after that.
Has that probably caused it?
I'm not sure. Maybe they got a bit fed up with his discipline.
Because was it three times he got sent off last season?
Something like that. But whatever happened, coaching staff not happy, and he was shipped out to Castleford.
Good signing for Castleford. If they can keep him on the field, he'll be a real benefit, won't he, to Darryl Powell's side. He's always been one of those forwards that I've rated, and in fact, if you look at him pound for pound and examine his statistics, he's not that far away from international selection. He just needs to sort out that discipline.
Without a doubt. Now, he's staying within Super League, but one player not staying in Super League is Gareth O'Brien, because Toronto have made another raid into Super League and splashed the cash to sign Gareth O'Brien from Salford.
It's interesting, isn't it? Now, if they've paid a good amount...
Six figures from what we've been told.
Okay, so we're believing that it's six figures. That's got to cover Salford's wage bill for the next couple of months, hasn't it, at least?
Oh, well, I don't know. They've come out fighting Salford, haven't they? They've got a lot of speculation surrounding the finances, and that's why they've had to sell Gareth O'Brien to settle the books and whatever. But You know, they've come out fighting, saying, oh, no, all our bills are covered for the rest of the season.
And that's fair enough. And to be honest, that's all that fans want to know, isn't it?
Because
usually you get to know whether your club's in lumber, usually about 2 weeks before that last bill is due, don't you?
Yes.
We've seen it happen. We've seen fans go out there with buckets and the like and collections and safety things starting up. And hopefully that never happens at Salford and they're well looked after.
Good sign for Toronto, though. And they should walk the championship with the guys they've got now.
They're still a bit short on numbers, aren't they?
I don't know how.
They're still short on numbers. Okay. You know, because if you think they let three big lads go, it would be right in the middle of the thick of the action, prop forward. So, you know, they're still a little bit down for me. I think that they'll certainly be looking at adding a prop forward because they were in for Watts, weren't they?
They were.
And ended up with Castleford outbidding them and going buying
so
in from...
So assured, I mean, no way should a championship club be outbidding the Super League.
Hey, they're minted. They're minted. Toronto are minted.
Only on paper.
Toronto are minted. The guys behind them have all the money in the world, haven't they?
Well, if they don't get promoted, Mr. Rowe is under pressure.
Stop trying to put coaches under pressure already.
Well, Steve McManara's under pressure, so why not?
We've not even reached Easter yet, and you're calling for pressure on coaches?
Listen, fans in France were booing their heads off something chronic during that game against Warrington.
Well, to be fair, I think if I was a Catalan fan, I wouldn't be too happy with what I was seeing.
6,500 only there. The tendencies are going down with spiral quick.
Yeah, we made a comment at the end of last season when I think their attendances went down below 7,000, didn't they? Saying,
yeah.
Ooh, it's not looking good. And if Catalan's fans are losing patience and losing the will to actually get down there, it's not looking particularly fragranced, is it, for the future? But he's got the dreaded vote of confidence, hasn't he, off his boss?
You don't want that. It's so, 6 rounds in and you're getting the vote of confidence.
So Steve McNamara is safe for now.
Before the guillotine drops.
They've won one of the first six games, by the way.
Mm.
That one came against Hull Kingston Rovers the other week.
Yes.
But they were dire against Warrington. In fact, that was just a dire game.
You said you turned off and watched the amateur boys instead.
I did. Well, I think that you get a more honest brand of rugby league from the amateur lads. And, you know, well done to Lock Lane and well done to Featherstone Lions for battling it out in the snow.
Good for them.
It was a good game as well.
Well done. We mentioned players leaving Super League. Let's talk about a player who's coming back. He's been away for 17 months, but one Joshua Charnley. He's making a welcome return to rugby league, but this time preferred destination is Warrington.
I'm really pleased to
never
see him
saw
back.
That one coming.
To be fair, he has been linked once or twice with Warrington, hasn't he, since he went over to the dark side of rugby with Sale. I think Sale were a little bit disappointed in the fact that, unlike Denny Solomona, who's really taken to the sport, you know, Josh kind of was a bit in and out of the team, wasn't
he? You either like it or you don't.
Yeah, but
there's
he was
no in betweens, is there?
He was in and out of the team, wasn't he? And I think they were a bit disappointed that he didn't stay to fight his position. But obviously, he's had a good deal put to him by Warrington. Let's be honest, he's a rugby league winger. He's an out rugby
Welcome
league
back,
winger.
Joshua.
Great finisher, really athletic player. He's big. He's strong. He's everything that they want. So they've got Lynham on one wing, haven't they now? And with a bit of luck, Josh Charnley on the other. Where does it leave the likes of Mitch Brown and...
Matty Russell,
though.
Surplus to requirements.
So could we be seeing yet more signings for Toronto?
Oh, no. Yeah. You never know, would you? But yeah, welcome back, Joshua. And it'd be interesting to see whether he starts his Warrington career the way he ended it with Wigan.
How was that?
It was excellent for Wigan.
No, how was that? How did he end it?
Scoring tries.
All right, okay. I thought he was going to come up with something like...
He was scoring tries. Okay. I would have thought Wigan would have had a first option on his return.
They might have done, but it just seemed like he was always in and out over the last couple of seasons at Wigan. He was always in and out of the team, you know. So whether there was something going on behind the scenes that we're unaware of, I don't know. But it's a good bit of business if you look at it on paper for Warrington, isn't it? And just the sort of fillip that their side needs to sort of kick on.
Marwan Kukash made a walk the waves in Salford, but he's back in the news of rugby league over the last couple of weeks, this time revealing ambitious plans for a potential Cumbrian franchise. Because he's saying Cumbrian franchise, does he know something we don't? A franchise and coming back into the rugby league world?
Well, yeah, I mean, there was just 2 points about that statement. The first one is, yes, are we going back to franchising? And as Marwan got the nod and to put that forward. Secondly, I don't actually disagree with getting a Cumbrian franchise in there. We've spoke about this before.
If he's going to do it as a Cumbrian rugby league team, right? Obviously, you can't merge Whitehaven and Workington together. That will never happen.
You'd have to come up with something separate.
He's going to come up with something separate. So he's going to have to try and get those three teams on board, Barrow as well. Maybe they act as like support clubs or feeder clubs for the franchise, if that's what you want to call it. But in terms of location, he's going to have a look at the Cumbrian map and stick it somewhere within half hour's drive of those three towns.
And hopefully somewhere that's got a half-decent stadium, because we've had in the past, haven't we, where teams have threatened to get into Super League only to be turned down for the stadium bits.
With that in mind, where can you go? Carlisle? I know we've been there before.
Yeah, I was thinking Carlisle, because obviously they've got the football ground there, haven't they, which is half decent. You know, other than that, you're kind of looking maybe, I don't know, a little bit further south. Would you actually site it at maybe Barrow's football ground? Is that big enough?
And actually have it in Barrow?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
I thought he might have picked the location, if this is the case, if this comes off. So we can get all three clubs on the side somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, trouble is, you'd have to...
You'd have to build one.
You'd have to build one, and you'd have to invest something like £20 million at least in a new stadium build, wouldn't you, somewhere? It's not just quite as simple, is it?
If he has it in the Lake District, they'll never get planning permission.
Well, interestingly enough, he mentioned about Cumbrian Lakers, didn't he?
Yeah.
I think that's the name that he sort of like tentatively attached to it. So
have it in Windermere, then.
Windermere.
That's got a lake near it.
Oh, that'd be great, that. Who'd defend the deep end first, though?
No idea. It'd be interesting to see how that one comes off.
It would be really interesting, yeah.
I mean, to see Marwan still involved in rugby some form.
To be fair as well, though, Adrian, I mean, Cumbria is ripe for that type of development, isn't it?
There's plenty of Cumbrians still knocking around within the world of rugby league, even though they're not playing for Barrow and Whitehaven and working some great amateur clubs.
And I don't know about you, but the last time I took a walk around Whitehaven and Workington, there was all kids in Super League jerseys. So it's not like they've totally forgot about rugby league. They're just like not going.
It shows you the interest is there when Scotland base themselves in Workington and got some half-decent crowds.
Yeah, yeah.
They are ripe for some high class top of the league Super League action.
I'm
just disappointed that to see Workington, Barrow or Whitehaven do it, but there you go, it's not going to happen, is it?
Well, you know, I mean, Barrow are flying the flag in the Championship this year. They were knocking on the door a few years ago in the Des Johnston era, weren't they?
Yeah.
And let's hope that they can get back to somewhere near there.
But if that's not the case, maybe this is the best way forward for them.
It could be. You know, I'd be interested to see just how that develops. It's already got a couple of lads like James Donaldson, for example. He's turned round in the news this week and said that he backs the plan that Marwan has suggested. And let's be honest, rugby league is a poorer place without Marwan Kukash, isn't it? I'm one of these people that kind of grew to love Marwan over his course in rugby league. I think he was just badly advised when he was at Salford.
Yeah.
And I think he was starting to...
Sometimes he's misunderstood.
Yeah, he was starting to learn all about it later on. As you mentioned, you know, there was a bit of misunderstanding with perhaps the way that he'd be speaking to the hierarchy at the rugby league. Mm. I think his heart's in the right place, to be fair.
Well, keep an eye on that one. I'm sure it's going to rumble on over the next year or two, because we still don't know what the exact format of the rugby league is going to be after 2018.
Yeah, let's just let it happen.
Let it happen.
I mean, we keep having these discussions,
we
don't
do.
We?
And
to be fair, you can discuss it until you're blue in the face or any other club's colours, to be fair. But is it really important?
No.
Is it really important? Surely we should just be in it for the rugby league, and no matter what the format is, let's just go with it.
Hear, hear. And that's a political rugby league broadcast by David Parker.
Yeah, back me for my RFL board nomination. It's coming up in the next 20 years.
Guess what else has happened over the last couple of weeks?
What else has happened?
Sheffield are back in Sheffield.
I am really pleased to hear that, to be honest.
Get in there. The Blades are back.
Because, I mean, the Blades...
Oh, the Eagles.
The Blades?
Eagles, I meant.
Wrong-shaped ball.
Getting confused with the football team.
Exactly. But you could say that Sheffield is United because it's back in there,
it
isn't
is,
it?
Yeah.
So I can see where you're coming from.
Mark Aston is a man of his word. He's made sure they're staying in Sheffield. They're back. It's been 3.5 years, but they're back.
I'm really, really pleased regarding that, because every time I've spoken to Mark...
Well, let's get him on the phone, won't we, and have a chat.
That's been one of my questions for him. You know, where is the club up to regarding coming back to Sheffield? And he's never shied away from that question.
No.
He's always answered it full on and front on, which is just what, you know, people like me appreciate. And yeah, I'm really pleased all the work that's gone on there. I know Liam has done a tremendous job there in the background, and congratulations to the Eagles successfully hosting their first game, and it came against Toronto.
Did you win it?
No, Toronto won 44-10, but it was close at half time. They only trailed 16-10.
Oh, those Wolf Packs.
They're setting the pace, aren't they?
Setting the pace, aren't they? Should we talk some international rugby before we move on?
Oh, go on.
Yeah, why not? Kevin Brown finally confirming his international retirement.
I thought he did that a couple of years ago, to be honest.
No, I thought he was okay in the World Cup.
No, I was only jesting. I was only jesting there, yeah. He's there's times throughout his career when he should have been called up to play for England, and sadly wasn't. His form warranted it. Over this last couple of years, you could argue that his club form maybe hasn't been up to it, but he's never let anybody down when he's gone in there. From an international point of view, a fine player. I know that he was very appreciative of all the coaching which Wayne Bennett gave him for the World Cup, and he turned into a very important cog, didn't he, as far as the World Cup was concerned in England. So you know, he can now concentrate on his club form and his club career with Warrington.
It was announced the elite team training squad was announced, wasn't it?
Okay.
Bit surprised Sam Tonkins wasn't in it.
No, has he been that good over the last 18 months?
I don't know, he's still a handful, isn't he?
He's still a handful, yeah, but he's got to get back in that contention, hasn't he, to be fair.
Okay, it's for last year.
Well, yeah, I mean, people...
Sean Wayne's made up, he's not involved.
Well, he is.
He's going to have him more often playing for Wigan.
He gets him full-time, doesn't he? So yeah. He's not got to worry about whether or not he's going to play a mid-season international and whether he's going to risk injury. He can get him for all that time. And, you know, with a bit of luck, we see that Sam Tompkins' form from before coming back, and he will get picked for England.
Also announced as well, a shake-up in the coaching staff. Dennis Betts not being kept on as the assistant coach.
Yeah, perhaps a little bit surprised about that, to be honest, because Dennis seemed to be doing a good job,
yeah.
Seemed to be enjoying it on the times when he was spoken to about doing that job. But Wayne Bennett is one of these guys that when you've been involved in rugby league coaching as long as he is, he freshens things up, hasn't he?
Mm.
Basically, his first stint, if you like, at the Brisbane Broncos, he reinvented that side three times. So he brought three lots of players in, changed the coaching setup on three separate occasions to keep everything fresh. And he's obviously got that same sort of thought pattern for the international game as well.
Should we get Dennis's thoughts and what he thought about it?
Why not?
I got the job originally with a conversation with Wayne when he just asked me if I wanted to do the job. It was 2 years ago. I didn't have a contract, I just did the job in Four Nations. He rung me up after that Four Nations tournament and asked me if I wanted to be involved in the World Cup. So I was involved in the World Cup. And I've had two fantastic years working with a great coach and a great bunch of players. To be honest, I never really anticipated going any further myself, because I thought Wayne might have stepped down. I wasn't sure what he was going to do. And when I heard that he was willing to keep going, I thought it was a good thing because of the momentum he's got. But it wasn't something that I was actually craving doing any longer. I think I might have been after something else, if I'm honest. But all being in the mix for it was another couple of coaches. So it's not... It had to be announced because everybody wants to know what he's doing, but I don't think it was ever really... I can't really go away in the mid-season again as this year, so it's not like I'm part of the mix like I was last year. It was nice to be involved in the World Cup. And we're going to give somebody else an opportunity to spend some time with him and work with a great coach. I think I've done my bit now, and I think my next progression is to get this side winning games and be a bit further up the table, and then see what happens when Wayne decides to call it a day when he's about 104.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league, this is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
104? Was Dennis cracking a joke then, or was he serious?
104. I think he was cracking a joke, wasn't he? He's 68, though, Wayne.
68? Still loving his rugby league, he's Wayne Bennett.
And his contract's up at the Brisbane Broncos at the end of the season. So carry on there, or will he actually pack that in and go full-time for the England job?
Who knows? Watch this space. Yep. You never know what the old wily character might be thinking.
No, and again, I think he's took some unfair criticism during his time in charge of England. Because he's freshened it up, hasn't he?
his interviews have been quite interesting.
Well, they have, but, you know, do you want him to be doing interviews or do you want him to be winning rugby league games?
Winning rugby league games.
So there you go. And he's got further than any other England coach.
He has.
The world stage, hasn't he, for quite a while.
Just fell short at the final. Long may it continue. Wayne Bennett.
Yeah, I'm one of Wayne's boys. I'll back him. It's Wayne's world, isn't it?
Wayne's world. Don't let me ask that thing. Anyway, let's talk club rugby, shall we?
Okay.
Shall we talk League One or Super League?
Go for Super League first.
We'll go for Super League. Why not? Two rounds been played since we were last on the Find the Hooter podcast. Round five saw victories for Wigan, Castleford, Castleland Dragons, St Helens, Huddersfield Giants and Leeds Rhinos.
And just a quick one, because that Wigan victory came against Wakefield, who'd been on that great run, hadn't they? I think yes. If they actually won that, that would have been the best start since about the 1940s.
Had gone into that game having won the opening four games. I think, yeah, don't they?
They had, yeah, yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong, Wakefield are still a fine side, aren't they? And if you look at the sort of top 20 players, then I think any club in the top four would want to take any of those players, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Without a doubt, Chris Chester for me, pound for pound, coach of the year so far.
I was worried in the fact that you know, they had the Meister Keir with him last season, mm-hmm. the old master, and he vacated to go Bradford. And I thought maybe Chris Chester might struggle on his own, but you know, he's dealt with it. Obviously, he's learned a lot from John Keir.
Yeah, yeah, but I think maybe you're doing him a disservice because
That was my initial concern before the ball was kicked.
Because arguably, Wakefield were a top eight team before John Keir arrived last season anyway.
He was, yeah.
So
I'm sorry, Chris. I do apologise.
So for me, you know, Chris Chester, pound for pound, is the one of the better coaches in
and
the
And he's a man of the mission because he's still miffed off about what happened to him at Hull Kingston Rovers. So he wants to shove the worst down the throat.
Well, possibly. But maybe he's a bit more professional and he's just moving on and he's putting it behind him. But you can always use these things, can't you,
as a
force to sort of propel you forward. And certainly that's what Chris Chester appears to be doing at the moment over at Wakefield.
Well, Huddersfield went to Widnes and got their first win of the season against the Vikings. And then Jake Mamo spoke to me after the game. Jake Mamo, tough conditions out there, really hammered the conditions well to get the win.
Yeah, definitely, it was tough out there. There was a lot of drop ball from each team, so I guess it was just a bit of a grinding game and luckily we got away with it.
What do you think the key to success was for the Giants tonight?
I think we just kind of, we did tough it out a bit and we stayed pretty calm throughout and didn't, although I said that there was a fair few errors, we did still stay calm for most of it, and then I think that got us there. We had a lot of errors, but still less than witness. Yeah.
Danny Brough certainly put in a good kicking game during that first half.
Yeah, that's what he's known for, and he's kicked teams around the park before, and it certainly helps us, massive for us, and yeah, definitely put us in good stead to win that game.
Certainly helped you to get the first try.
Yeah, definitely. It's needed it as a team, so yeah, it was good. Yeah, it was all right.
What's the mood like at halftime?
Butter.
What was the mood like at halftime?
Yeah, it was good. I think, what did we come in, 14-0 up at halftime? We knew what we needed to do. We just needed to keep grinding, keep controlling. And yeah, we got a bit frantic at the end there, but that happens with a bit of ad-lib play sometimes. And yeah, it was, some of those tries were hard to stop.
They say when Witness went a man down, they certainly give it a couple of scary moments.
Yeah, definitely. It's like I said, they went a man down, they knew they had to, they were chasing and they were throwing the ball around. And yeah, sometimes some pretty special tries to score when teams are chasing like that. And yeah, that was the case tonight.
Rick Stone said it was a must-win game for you guys. Is that a fair comment?
Yeah, definitely. If you start the season 1-5, it's horrible. So 2-5 is a little bit better. So we'd be trying to build on that. But yeah, definitely a must-win for that. So it was good to get the two.
How'd you feel you went?
I thought I was pretty average. So just a couple of positives, a couple of negatives, but just got to build on that.
I do apologise, it was her second win of the season.
It was
against Widnes.
It was the second win, but you know, the questions still stood, didn't they? And Jake Mamo, not particularly impressed with his own performance.
Average.
But
he must set himself high standards.
There are times when you've just got to like knuckle down, and it doesn't matter how you get the win, it's just about getting the win, isn't it? And that's certainly what Huddersfield did on that day.
Didn't do it in round six though, they were hammered by Hull Kingston Rovers.
Yeah, did you tip that?
I think everybody tipped Huddersfield.
Everybody went against it, you know, because I know I went for Huddersfield because I thought, oh, they'll definitely do it against Hull Kingston Rovers. Rovers were brilliant on the night, to be honest. A couple of tries there from Shaw, who also booted 7 goals. And there was a particular try that was scored in the second half. I think it was Greenwood who went over. And it followed a break downfield from a prop forward. A prop forward going sort of 90 metres before handing the ball up.
Where's the pace from the Huddersfield team?
Robbie Mulhern picking up a little dab kick through and going 90 metres before handing on.
Mentioned Danny Brough being really effective against Widnes in that game. Obviously not as effective against Holkiar, but he obviously feels confident within his body at 36 because he's signed another great deal to go around again next season.
And to be fair, it's not just his decision, is it? Because the club's offered him, so they must be really happy with the work that he's doing. And, you know, fair play, he's been one of Super League's top players for the last 10 or 12 years, hasn't he, Danny Brough? He's been a really good servant.
But Rick Stone yet to confirm if he's going to go past this season.
No, and I guess that if he was hoping that he could get a step towards a new contract last week, then getting beat 38-6 at home wasn't in the plan, was it? They were very disappointing, I thought, Huddersfield last week, taking absolutely nothing away from Hull Kingston Rovers, who, under their own wily coach Tim Sheens, did a tremendous job on the night. But they had it sewn up at half-time, virtually, didn't they? 20 points to 6.
Shot result for the weekend for me was Salford defeating Hull 24-8.
Yeah, that was comprehensive, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And again, Hull, they're an odd team, aren't they?
Strange team, aren't they? Yeah, not consistent.
Yeah, but I thought that they'd actually got the squad this year to get that consistency going, but it's just same old, isn't it? There's bound to be that bloke with his Radford Out poster charging round again very soon, isn't there?
Leeds Rhinos rolled back the year to really post a big win against St Helens and give them the first taste of defeat.
Yeah, I thought this was a really gutsy performance by Leeds, because if you look at it, they were a couple of front rowers short, as they would be normally. It ended up with Mullally starting the game, for example, and doing a good stint. I thought he had a particularly strong game. Good game as well for Handley in the centres. I thought he went really well. Maybe that's his position, because quite often Ash Handley's been played out on the wing, hasn't he, for Leeds?
Yeah.
But he stepped in.
Not convinced me he's a winger.
No, but he stepped in and done a really good job at centre. And if you look at his try-scoring record, I mean, I think we were talking about Josh Charnley before, and he's got a particularly strong try-scoring record against Widnes, which is quite interesting considering that coming up over the Easter period is Warrington and Widnes, isn't it?
That's probably when they make his debut.
Yeah, if you look at Handley, he's got a similar try-scoring phenomenon against St Helens. So whenever he plays against Saints, he scores a couple of tries. And, you know, that Friday night was no different. The only disappointing thing about that particular game was the attendance, just 11,500. I thought there would have been a few more that would have turned up for that one, but well played Leeds, and they're certainly showing no real after effects despite being short on players at the minute.
We've already mentioned Castleford and Wigan was off, and we mentioned the fact Warrington were too good for Catalans, 26-0, powering the pressure already on Steve McManara, but we're not going to talk about that because we've already done it.
Okay.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league, this is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
All right, let's move away from Super League, shall we, and talk Championship.
Yeah, let's do that.
Let's talk about the Championship. That's where the interest is.
I love the Championship, mate.
I know you do. How much?
This much.
That much?
Massively much.
Round 6 has just been done and dusted. A big win. Toulouse, 40, Dewsbury, 20. Neil Kelly won't like that one, will they? Featherstone, too strong for Swinton, 32-18. Another defeat for Lee, so Halifax win them 38-18. London Broncos 68, Batley 12. That's a good result for the Broncos.
Massive
Danny
result.
Danny Waugh's doing a fantastic job there, isn't he?
He definitely is, yeah.
Good win for Rochdale against Barrow, 24-12. Toronto, too strong for the Eagles, 44-10.
Yeah, we name-checked that one before,
didn't we?
And saying about Sheffield, they went toe-for-toe with them in the first half, 16-10 it was at half-time, and then Toronto just swept away from them. Quick word about the Rochdale one. Rochdale came back from 12-0 down against Barrow to post that result, so well done to Alan Killshaw getting the win there. And, well, you can also say as well a very well done to London Broncos and to Halifax, and that's what we're going to hear from next.
Let's hear from Richard Marshall.
It was an impressive performance from Halifax. I thought we just nailed the game plan in that first half. we didn't give any room for Lee to breathe within that first half, and really stifled them, suffocated them. Our field position, all the stuff that hasn't been going well for us, went well today as well. There was a couple of bounces of the ball and a bit of luck within that. But it was, there was two teams out there today, and I thought the most positive one won on the day today. Lee are a good team, and obviously Kieran is doing a good job there, and I'm sure they'll I'm sure they'll end up in the top four at the end of the season. But as regards Halifax, outstanding, an outstanding team performance. It was quite convincingly. I thought the couple of tries that they got were off our own mistakes as well. A couple of, you know, awry kicks and passes, and you take them out of the game, you're looking at a zero scoreline. But they're a quality team, Lee, and they were always going to come and get a couple of scores. It was important that we managed the game better today. As I said earlier, we did that really well today. Scott Morrell, Ben Johnson, I thought were outstanding. As halfbacks, completely controlled the game from minute 1 to minute 80. Scott got 2 minutes rest at the end there for his endeavours. I thought Simon Grix was really solid in the middle, and it gave us a bit of another dimension, allowing them two guys to play. And obviously Shane Grady got a first half hat-trick, which as a back row was really good going. We haven't really hit our straps. I thought we did today. Our challenge is to maintain that now and find out what we did so well, and then keep that as our template and our mark. We've played like that for the first four games, but not as 80 minutes. You know, we've done it for 15, 20 minutes here and there. But in the Championship, as I spoke earlier in the week, can't do that. It's an uncompromising competition. We got to grips with all that today. We put Lee to one side, and we concentrated on ourselves.
Right, let's rewind back there.
Okay.
Did he just say Shane Grady got a hat-trick?
He did, yeah.
Big Red got a hat-trick?
Yeah.
Wow. He's not done that for a long time.
He's playing really, really well. He's now a second rower.
He is, yeah.
And he kept hitting those direct lines, which troubled Lee all afternoon. He claimed a first half hat trick. In fact, the game was done and dusted at half time. We could have gone home. 28-0 Halifax led, and it was probably the most dominating I've ever seen Scott Morrell play. He just kit Lee to death, and with Grix in the middle and Johnston buzzing round, it was just really impressive.
I suppose the challenge Richard Marsh will be setting to the guys in blue and white is back it up.
Well, yeah,
I mean,
again, they're a similar sort of side who they've now won three of the first, five games. So they've been a bit inconsistent. So it's about finding that consistency and really kicking on. Halifax have that ability to do that. They're a really well-drilled side. And I rate Richard as a fine coach as well in the Championship.
Dipping down to League One, round two was wiped out, wasn't it?
It was.
Beast for in the East. So round three took part the week after. Is that right?
Well, that was the same weekend, so it was last week.
I don't know where
the week before last.
Wherever it was, anyway, we're up to round three, even though they've only played two.
Yeah,
confusing.
Well, it's okay because two got wiped out. That's all we've got to know, and it'll be rearranged at some point.
Right, wins for Coventry Birds, Workington Town, York defeated Oldham 24-22. Good match that, actually. Huntsford were too good for North Wales, winning 26-10. Bradford brushed aside the Cougars 54-6 in what was billed as the Bradford Derby.
Mm-hmm.
And Donny were too good for Whitehaven, 44-6. And also Newcastle coming up with a big win against the Scholars, 60 points to 16.
Doncaster have been brilliant so far. It would be remiss of us not to mention how they're going and the job that Richard Horn is doing there. They've scored 114 points in two games, only conceded 16, so long may that continue as well. You was over there at the Oldham York game, weren't you?
You mentioned Richard Horn, his brother was playing for York.
Yeah, Graham. He's still doing it, isn't he?
Graham Horn was there in the second row.
Yeah, but you mentioned the York game. What was that like against
Cracking Oldham? Game. Hard fought, real tough game. It was a proper old-fashioned game of rugby league. Had everything.
Excellent. You know, and to be fair, the other game that York's played this season against Bradford had everything as well, didn't it?
With
just them pinching it right at the end.
Yeah, unfortunately, West Wales is going to be a tough season. Only 14 players touched to the field against Workington.
Very sad. And if that's it after game two, then you sort of wonder what it's going to be like for the rest of the year, don't you? Let's hope that they can get the full complement of 17 out every single week, and that we're talking about much more positive results than a 70-point shellacking away.
Let's hear from James Ford after that big win against Oldham. James Ford, it was a win today, but it was a hard fought win.
Oh, certainly. We expected it to be a real tough game, and Oldham certainly didn't disappoint either. Tough team, big, strong, fast, getting on the front foot around the ruck. We had to be technically at our best defensively, and we had to show an awful lot of resilience and togetherness to get through some tricky patches.
Certainly had to do that right at the end when Oldham were knocking on your try line.
100%. When Oldham get some momentum behind them, they're a real hard team to handle. Obviously, we watched some Duff Keighley up, 50-odd, to not very many, and we fancy Oldham as a really, really strong team. And they were absolutely peppering us that last 10 minutes, but I'm really pleased that my players stuck together. They were a really, really together group and showed some real backbone to see the game out.
Certainly scored some well-taken tries.
Yeah, we fancy ourselves with the ball a little bit, and we have done for a couple of years, but it's really pleasing for me to see the team working so hard for one another. Not just today, that kind of performance doesn't just appear all week in training, all pre-season, the turn up and the focus on improving, and that kind of culture's going to see us hopefully have a positive season.
From the coach's point of view, who stood out for the night today?
I thought the mentality of the group. Obviously, all of them got a little bit of momentum. Because some teams might have folded. Our attitude and mentality really kind of was shut out to me. When all of them were on the front foot, we still stuck to task. And people like Tim Spears, he just doesn't know the meaning of giving up, does he? And that was clear throughout the whole squad today.
Had you noticed it in front of half time? Much had to be said.
Just spoke about how well I thought we played. Our completion was high, our kick accuracy was good, our contact was good. We recognised when we lost the play of the ball and nipped in a little bit tight on that one, and I was really pleased. Two cracking sides for League One rugby. First 40 minutes, high tempo stuff. We just maybe spoke about managing the referee a little bit. The human beings out there, and you're getting on the back is probably not going to help you. I think we were 6 or 7-2 down on the penalty count, and they generally end up pretty equal, don't they? So we really spoke about managing him a little bit and not trying to irritate him for the next 40 minutes.
Looks like this year League One's going to be really competitive.
Oh, definitely. Obviously, Bradford, everybody's favourites, they're going to be right up there. Oldham, got to be up there. Just how when the game gets quick, they're a quality side. Doncaster, I've had a look at them on tape, they look absolutely quality. And then you've got the other sides, Hunslet, North Wales, the Cumbrian sides are always going to be difficult to, up there. So you sometimes hear people that talk about rugby league struggling. You look at League One and Championship, I don't think it's ever been as strong. There's some of the quality sides in the champ. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I played, you wouldn't have had a side like Toronto in the Championship, no. And League One, I mean, that today were a Championship stand-up game. Stuff outside of Super League, in my opinion, is really, really positive at the minute.
And you're obviously pleased you've got your first win of the season as well.
Yeah, we could have been under a little bit of pressure, obviously losing narrowly to Bradford, and if Oldham had sneaked that at the end. But it's just pleasing to get the win, and hopefully we can build on that.
Sets you up now for the Challenge Cup, where you will be taking on Championship opposition.
Yeah, a good side. Obviously, I'm not seeing the results today, but up to now they've not won a league game, but that doesn't disguise they can play with the ball. I'm sure that they'll fancy the chances against us, and they'll come full of confidence, throwing that kind of Swinton fan shape at us as I took everybody and bring everybody around, and we're looking forward to the challenge.
I suppose this today was a good workout.
100, yeah, definitely. As I said, I can't speak highly enough of Oldham. I really think they're a quality side, and for us to come here and take 2 points is a real bonus. I don't fancy many teams coming here. I certainly wouldn't want to come back.
I'm sure he's got that out the way, and he'd have been immensely happy to have seen off Swinton in the Cup.
Yes, a particularly strong performance from York, winning 26-12 against Swinton. Wow, that's a bit of a shock, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Let's run through the other winners of the Challenge Cup Round 4. Barrow defeated Sheffield Eagles. Lee travelled over to Batley and beat them. Doncaster defeated Newcastle to continue the good start to the season. Toronto accounted for Kells away at Whitehaven. Normanton Knights went down to Rochdale Hornets. Whitehaven defeated Dewsbury in another shock, and Workington Town lost to London Broncos.
Bottom four, the Super 8 came into the fifth round draw for the next round of the Challenge Cup, and it went as follows. Warrington will take on Hunslet or Bradford. Toronto will play Barrow. Widnes are at home to Coventry Birds or Pilkington Rex. Lee Centurions will take on London Broncos. Whitehaven versus Rochdale. Halifax or Oldham versus Hawkinson Rovers. Doncaster will take on North Wales Crusaders or Feversham Rovers, and York's reward is a home tie against Catalan Dragons. Could they see off the Dragons?
Oh, that's a tie of the round so far, isn't it?
Without
York
a doubt.
Against Catalans.
Yes.
That'll be brilliant, won't it? Interesting to note that Toronto will play their game against Barrow.
Yeah, still
Barrow.
Based in UK, aren't they?
They are at this moment in time. And that's going to be an interesting one, isn't it? Lee against London Broncos.
Tasty games to look forward to. Who says the Challenge Cup's not interested?
Definitely, yeah. It's not us. We've not said that.
Across Warrington Hospital.
Across Warrington Hospital. With a bigger variety of music.
This is your Feel Better station.
Radio General. Radio General.